I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well. For this tiny baby who's born today is gonna change the world.
We've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
Yes, we've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
Well, they saw a star shining high in the sky, lighting up the heavens, what a glorious sight. And all at once there were angels all around, and the night was filled with a joyous sound.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well, for this tiny baby who's born today is gonna change the world.
We've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
Yes, we've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
So they came from the fields and the hills far away, just to see the baby asleep in the hay. They were filled with joy when they saw the tiny king, and they all went out with a song to sing.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well, for this tiny baby who's born today is gonna change the world.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well, for this tiny baby,
this tiny baby
born today,
this tiny baby
will change the
Thank you, men. I'm so glad that we can tell the whole world about the good news of Jesus. And I'm also glad that you've joined me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The Voice of Hope is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're a Bible-centered ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetime. Recently, we received a report from our partners in Central Asia who translate and produce our Bible teaching programs in the Uzbek language. There were numerous testimonies about the value of the programs, both for evangelism and discipleship. One listener wrote like this: "Many people on earth believe in God in their souls, and they want somehow to turn to Him. It's very important to show such people the true path to the true God. The Heralds of Hope programs are based on the Bible. By listening, you can understand why God created you and what His purpose is for you. The programs are a step-by-step explanation of the gospel. And I wish there were many listeners. God bless you." That's an encouraging testimony. You know, it's not easy to be a Christ follower in Uzbekistan. Many believers are part of unregistered churches, and they're viewed by their government as extremists, and so their churches may be monitored, and unregistered churches may be victims of police raids and arrests and monetary fines. You see, Uzbekistan is largely Muslim, so anyone who converts from Islam faces pressure from their family and community. Christians in these situations may be locked up, or beaten, or expelled from their communities. So many converts from Islam are forced to hide their faith. We are so blessed by those who pray and give to make these broadcasts possible. Just try to imagine yourself living under those circumstances and how blessed and encouraged you would be to be able to hear the Bible teaching on the radio. And all of our teaching programs, including the one you're about to hear in just a few moments, are created in the same way, by opening the Word of God and allowing the text to determine the subject, and then taking that teaching and making it practical for our daily lives. So stay tuned as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 11, maintaining faith and practice. In our previous message, we explored Paul's warning to Timothy that in the latter times, and that includes today, some leaders would try to influence other people to depart from the faith. As we examine verses 6 through 11 in chapter 4, we'll see Paul's counsel to Timothy on how to combat these false teachers and the harmful effects of their teaching. I know you agree that to be proficient or to be competent and skilled in anything we do, we must practice. We have the saying, use it or lose it. That's true whether our skills are technical, whether they're mechanical, intellectual, artistic, or spiritual. We must constantly be practicing and maintaining and developing our skills and our abilities. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has both responsibilities and privileges. The scriptures make it clear that we must strive diligently to maintain our relationship. And that's not because of any lack or failure on God's part, and it's also not to earn our salvation, but it's because of our tendency to be lazy. When we follow our natural inclinations, we're much more likely to be deceived by the error that Paul warns us about in the beginning of this chapter. The instruction that Paul gives to Timothy in this text is primarily focused on those in leadership, but all of us can benefit from the principles that are presented. So I've titled our study, Maintaining Faith and Practice, and our text is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 11. So if you have your Bible close by and it's convenient for you, I invite you to open it to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll begin reading at verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. In this text, Paul counsels Timothy to engage in certain exercises in order to maintain faith and godliness. We can benefit from integrating these exercises into our lives too. Paul's first counsel is exercise discernment. You know, every day you and I make hundreds of choices, maybe thousands. We weigh things in our minds to estimate their value. How will this activity or this investment of time or this expenditure of my energy or finances, how will it help me reach my goals? Or maybe we would ask, how will it help me fulfill my responsibilities? And so we are constantly exercising discernment. We make choices, and then our choices reveal what is really important to us. Paul reminds Timothy of the need to continually remind his flock of the errors that were being promoted by the false teachers. As I said earlier, the goal of the false teachers was not to draw people to Christ, but it was to gain a following that they could control for their own personal gain. And there are many just like them today. So we must continually exercise a discerning spirit. If we don't, we will be led astray by the error of the false teachers. And this exhortation that Paul is giving is just as needful today as it was when he wrote it to Timothy. Because today, with our modern communication, error can be disseminated more widely and more convincingly and more quickly than ever before. So a good leader is aware of those things that distract or endanger his people, and he will help them to be on their guard. Paul wanted Timothy to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. The word minister is diakonos, a servant. Paul was reminding his young protege that in order to be an effective servant to the church, he needed to continue to educate himself in the words of faith and of approved doctrine. The words nourished in the words of faith are a present participle. In other words, Timothy is to be constantly nourishing himself, constantly spending time in the words of faith and truth, that is, the scriptures, but also the Christian doctrines or teaching. According to Paul's comment, Timothy was already doing a good job of feeding himself from the word, and you and I can develop a more sensitive spirit of discernment by taking Paul's advice to heart. And then in verse 6, Paul is taking Timothy back to the foundation of his faith. You know, a skillful coach will often return to the basics of the sport to pull the team or perhaps a player out of a slump. And so Paul exhorts Timothy to return to the basics to keep his church on the right track. In my own life, I'm often looking for shortcuts to success. I want the results without the patient, disciplined efforts that are needed to achieve it. And so, in those situations, I need to go back to the basics. As part of this exercise of discernment, Paul warned Timothy not to become embroiled in refuting the fables of these false teachers. Have you ever had a conversation with someone whose goal seemed to be to waste your time? I have. They're not interested in the truth. They only want a good argument. Timothy had more important things to do than to spend time chasing down silly stories and worthless myths. These were pointless for building and maintaining his faith and practice. But by faithfully proclaiming the word of truth, Timothy would be equipping himself and the church to be discerning of error. By knowing the word of God, we can spot error no matter what form it takes or no matter what source it comes from. The second counsel Paul gives Timothy to maintain faith and practice is exercise godliness. In the end of verse 7, Paul uses our key word, exercise. The word speaks of the Greek athlete's vigorous exercise in the gymnasium. Now, the exercise that Paul is recommending isn't physical, but instead it's spiritual. It involves the mind and the will and the emotions. He tells Timothy that instead of exercising himself in refuting the old wives' tales, he should exercise himself to excel in godliness. This godliness Paul speaks of is the exact opposite of what we see from the false teachers in the opening verses of this chapter. The bodily exercise, or the disciplines they required, were things that ultimately led to death and not life. The things they abstained from may have lengthened their physical lives, but they did nothing to prepare them for eternity. You know, there are many people today who exercise faithfully to preserve their physical bodies, but then they turn around and they give little or no thought to preserving their soul. The self-discipline of our physical bodies is an important part of the exercise of godliness. Some spiritual disciplines require it, but we must remember it is a means to an end. It is not the end itself. Paul admitted that the practices that were taught by the false teachers might yield some limited value for physical health and for longevity, but they were worthless in developing a holy life. The godliness which Paul encourages Timothy to pursue is the godliness that speaks of an externalized piety, in other words, a visible lifestyle difference, or an outward demonstration of the transformation that has taken place in the heart of the person. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he wrote, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, don't be mistaken, Paul isn't telling them to earn their salvation by working. No, he is telling them to demonstrate godliness, to live out the results of their salvation. And you know something? This is a constant theme throughout the New Testament. So while the false teachers and their followers try to impress God and other people with their self-denial, true believers know their acceptance with God comes through Jesus Christ. And according to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, their spiritual disciplines are quietly practiced for the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father, who sees in secret, openly rewards genuine godliness. So Timothy is urged to continue the exercise of godliness in his life and in the life of his congregation because it is profitable for all things. Godliness involves a promise for this life and for the next. Our present life, as it reflects the heavenly life, is shaped and controlled by it, and it bears its impression. Godliness has promise for the present life because it has promise of the life which is to come. Only the life which is in Jesus Christ is life indeed. If you and I could better understand what Christ has done for us, if we could just get a glimpse of what He has in store for us in the life to come, then we would realize that no sacrifice, no discomfort, no nothing at all is too great a sacrifice in our pursuit of godliness. Our exercise of godliness, motivated by the Holy Spirit and our desire to please our Savior, is a crucial part of maintaining our faith and practice. And then there's a final counsel in maintaining faith and practice that Paul gives. It is exercise faith. Verse 9 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." So a faithful saying is a trustworthy saying, a saying that you and I can accept as truth. Now, this sentence joins verses 8 and 10. Godliness and faith are very closely related. Without faith, there is no need for godliness, and without godliness, there is no evidence of faith. The two cannot exist independently of each other. Paul begins verse 10 with, "For to this end." This is the connector with the statement of verse 9 and the contents of verse 8. In the pursuit of godliness, Paul says, we both labor and suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust, that is, we exercise faith, in the living God. Paul speaks of labor expended in the pursuit of godliness. And this labor that Paul's talking about is not, we might say, all in a day's work. It is hard labor. It is toil to the point of exhaustion. Our belief that this life is only a training ground for the life to come motivates our willingness to endure hardship. According to Woost's word studies in the Greek New Testament, the words "suffer reproach" translate the Greek word agonizomai, and that was a Greek athletic term speaking of the participation of the athlete in the Greek games, and it's from this Greek word that we get our English word agony. Both of these terms, labor and suffer reproach, denote strenuous, painful, agonizing effort. And you know, that's something that most people want to avoid. I know I do. And yet Paul tells Timothy and us to expect this. And then he says, the reason we engage in this exhausting labor, the reason we suffer reproach and agony willingly, is because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Apart from our faith and hope in God, this kind of sacrifice and dedication that Paul is talking about is insane. And you know, the world looks at it in that way. That's because the natural man has no spiritual discernment. Preaching of the cross, the disciplines of following the Savior, and our expectation of eternal rewards are all foolishness to them. It's sheer lunacy. But to us who are true followers of Jesus, you and I, we believe, Paul says, in the living God. We don't follow some historical person who died years ago, whose followers venerate his memory by visiting his tomb. Neither do we read a holy book that's been cobbled together by borrowing from the philosophies of men and the thoughts of some mythical gods. No, praise God, our hope, our confidence is in the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have experienced the death that sin brings, and we have now been delivered into new life by the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah, what a Savior. To those who trust in the living God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the transformation of our lives. And we should be so grateful to God for rescuing us from sin, and then for giving us His divine nature, and for making us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. No labor, no sacrifice, no expense is too great as an expression of our gratitude. We agree with Jim Elliot, the missionary to the Wayodani Indians of Ecuador, who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Our God, the living God, is the Savior of all mankind. Paul isn't teaching the idea that all humanity will eventually be eternally saved. He simply recognizes that without God's benevolent care for human beings, none of us would survive. Jesus said that his Father makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. He saves human beings physically by providing for their needs, but he saves specifically those that believe by giving them eternal life. That's the reward for their surrender and commitment to him. Paul closes this exhortation to young Timothy with the words of verse 11. These things command and teach. This can be better translated as, these things be constantly commanding and teaching. So it's not a one-time come to the altar and you'll never need to do it again. No, it's a reminder that maintaining faith in practice takes continual attention and continual exercise. And if that was true in Paul's day, how much more necessary is it today? If you and I hope to maintain faith in practice, we must be willing to exercise discernment. Deception is increasing. False prophets and false messiahs are on the rise. We must nourish ourselves by constant exposure to the Word of God. The truth will set us free. And then our knowledge of the truth will lead us to exercise a life of godliness, because what's on the inside will be expressed outwardly. We will live according to God's commands, not the desires of our flesh, and we will discover that God's commands are not grievous. They do not make our life unenjoyable. And we will do this willingly because we exercise faith and hope in the living God. We will make any sacrifice to walk in obedience to him because we trust him completely and we know what the reward is, eternal life. And so I ask you, will you be one of those, like we spoke of last week, who are departing from the faith? Or are you one of those who are maintaining faith and practice? The choice is yours.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you the journey may appear, grace shall be as your day. We have a living Lord to guide, and we can trust him to provide. Do this and joy, your hearts will swell. All is well, all is well. The world of care is with us every day. Let it not this obscure. Here we can serve the Master on the way, and in him be secure. Gird up your loins, fresh courage take. Our God will never us forsake, and so our song no fear can quell. All is well, all is well. We'll find the rest which God for us prepared, when at last he will call, where none will come to hurt or make afraid. He will reign over all. We will make the air with music ring, shout praise to God, our Lord and King. Oh, how we'll make the chorus swell. All is well, all is well.
Thank you, Corral. Isn't it a comfort to know that we have the living God to guide us? I wouldn't want to try to navigate life without him. I couldn't make it without the presence of his Holy Spirit to guide me, and neither could you. His constant presence is such a blessing, such a comfort. Well, I hope God's word has spoken to your heart. If you have questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like a copy of what you heard, just write to us. We'd be happy to send to you a printed manuscript or a digital copy of this teaching. Just ask for it by the title, Maintaining Faith and Practice. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you may simply pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. And you can use this contact information to request a print or digital copy of today's teaching. If you'd like to review today's teaching or listen to archived programs, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen whenever it's convenient for you. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And we also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week here on The Voice of Hope, and until we meet again, join me in this prayer.